What do we do when discouragement comes and the voice of despair is whispering louder than your regular voice? Too loud to ignore. What do we do when we face discouragement? How do we handle that as a follower and a discipler of Christ? I want to speak to that question this morning. I tell you, just as real as we are all sitting here this morning, the devil likes nothing better than to discourage God's kids. And why shouldn't he? We're the ones with all the promises. We're the ones with all the upside and no downside. We're the ones that are called the apple of God's eye. We are His chosen, His elect. And when we get discouraged, the devil just starts doing his little jig. He couldn't be happier. And in fact, to make matters worse, he likes to pile on top of us like a 500-pound lineman. And we're at the bottom of that pile, and he's just letting there, yeah. God's kids are discouraged. It gets him excited. That's what he gets up for in the morning. But the bottom of the pile is not where God wants us to stay. We're not bottom of the pile dwellers. We're victors and overcomers. Sure, we all get discouraged when things don't turn out like we hoped. When we don't get what we wanted for Christmas, or someone forgets our birthday, or we fail in some manner. Discouragement is a part of life. And like offenses, discouragement will come. But like offenses, it's what we do with the discouragement when it comes that can make or break us. That can give us joy or send us into despair, which is the byproduct of discouragement. Discouraged people lack hope, and that steals joy. Think about it, it's true. But at the same time, hope is the antidote to discouragement. Hope restores joy. If you're feeling a bit discouraged today, perhaps lacking joy, or maybe even experiencing some despair, I want to bring you hope. I want to bring you hope today by helping you remember three little things that you already know. But many times my job as the pastor is not to bring you new information. It's to remind you of the information that you already know. And we go, oh yeah, I knew that. Thank you for reminding me. The first point I want to bring up today to help us overcome discouragement and to walk in hope and joy is to remember that God's ways are higher than ours. God's ways are higher than ours. Turn to Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9 we'll be in. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As for the time when Isaiah chapter 55 was written, many scholars believe that Israel were captives in a land called Babylon. Even though their present circumstances were discouraging and despairing, chapter 55 and this word from Isaiah from the Lord comes at them in a way of encouragement and along with it, hope. Though things looked bleak for Israel as they endured their captivity, the message brought to them by Isaiah was one of encouragement. Things were not going to remain bleak. The hope was that God had not forgotten them. He was still working in their lives. Do you believe that God is still working in our lives this morning? They didn't understand why things happened as they did. They understood that they had sinned against God and were dealing with the consequences of that sin as a nation. But captivity? Really? Here they were, God's own people, now servants to a people of even more extreme wickedness and idol worship. But why should the Babylonians prosper and Israel become their slaves? Was Israel any worse than they? Was Israel more wicked than they? In another book in the Bible, in the story of Job, we read about the same feelings many in Israel must have been experiencing. Maybe you're feeling this way today too. In Job chapter 21, we'll have it on the screen in verses 7 through 13. Let me read this. I'm only going to read a little bit of it. This is Job talking, asking the question that many of us may be asking this morning. Why do the wicked still live, continue on, and also become very powerful? Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, and the rod of God is not on them. Here's righteous Job, covered in boils from head to toe. He had lost everything, including his children, and even his very own wife. Says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? In other words, why don't you just kill yourself? Your future is so bleak. Wow. While Israel, for the most part, deserved her judgment. Job? Really? The Bible tells us he was a righteous man. And we feel like that too sometimes, don't we? From the mental view of our front porch, things can look dismal. What did we do to deserve this? To make matters worse, we've prayed. We've gone to church. We've attempted to live a righteous life. Yet here we are in the lion's den like Daniel found himself one day. What did Daniel ever do wrong? Nothing. However, God tells us in the midst of our bewilderment, as He did Israel and Job and countless others throughout the Bible, we do not serve a helpless and powerless God. His ways are higher than our ways, as far as the stars from the earth. That's pretty far. Our closest star is millions of light years from us. The Bible says God's ways are even higher than that way. There is no way we can figure out what He's doing. We just can't. You can't figure out what God is doing until after He's done it. And then we have 20/20 vision. Oh, I think He did that. When we think we know, we can be sure it is at that exact moment that we do not have a clue what God is doing. Sometimes it can feel like God has let us down. Who's ever felt like that? I'm not ashamed to put up my hand. I've felt like that numerous times. Israel felt like that. Job felt like that. We all can from time to time if we're truly transparent and honest this morning. We're not bad people when we do. It doesn't make us bad. Just a bit ignorant. We don't have all the facts. When we look at life from our perspective, things can often not make a lot of sense. But if we trust in the absolute goodness of God, we can be sure that God is going to bring something good out of it. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. We simply have to wait and trust Him to make diamonds out of coal, to make a sculpture out of mud. It takes a little time. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We are the called. Look to your neighbor and says, you are the called. Whatever it is we're going through, God will see us through to the other side. That's His promise. And He will bring good out of it according to His purposes. That's His promise. We may think that this world revolves around us. I hate to bring more despairing news to you this morning, but it does not revolve around you, in fact. But there is a grand play going on, being orchestrated by the one who designed it all. And one day this play is going to end before his throne. And we're going to recognize at that moment, God, you had this all along. Your ways were indeed higher than my ways. The second thing we need to do when facing discouragement is to remember that God is sovereign, is sovereign. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines God's sovereignty as this: his absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. Sometimes when we pray for something, maybe even fast, and it doesn't turn out like we are wanting, it can be pretty discouraging. Has anyone ever felt that this morning? Of course, the devil is right there with words and accusations like, what's the use? Prayer doesn't work. God doesn't care. But those words and accusations are not befitting the holy God that we serve. If we really believe, I mean really and truly believe that God is sovereign, then we need to be okay with the results. And sometimes that's hard. We may not like it, but we must trust Him and not sin against Him with our mouth. There's a guy in Scripture who went through a scenario where he didn't get what he was praying for. We might want to take a cue from him this morning, since it's in our Bible. By the way, he's someone that knew that God loved him very much. Though he didn't get the thing for which he was praying, as we'll see, he still allowed room for God's sovereignty. I'm talking about King David. Flip over in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll pick up in verse 15. Then the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David, so that he was very sick. David therefore inquired of God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him in order to raise him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat food with them. Then it happened on the seventh day, he'd been there for 7 days. Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him and he did not listen to our voice. How then can we tell him that the child is dead, since he might do himself harm? But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Verse 21. Then his servant said to him, what is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. We don't get it. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, now this is his mindset, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. If you're not familiar with this story, really it's one of the saddest in the Bible from the perspective of a moral failure by one of God's greatest champions. David had an affair with his neighbor's wife, and she got pregnant. To cover up his act, he tried to get her husband to sleep with her, but David couldn't get him to comply. So he had her husband set up and killed. The woman who David had an affair with, Bathsheba, bore David a son, and all seemed well, like he had gotten by with his sin. But David forgot that God sees everything. And God sent Nathan the prophet to David to expose his sin, and that he did. Then the Bible says that God struck the child, and he got very sick. Our sin can affect other people, just as a side note. It doesn't always affect only us. It can affect others, those around us. If you ever get the chance to maybe ask Achan's family in the Old Testament what that was about. So David began to fast and pray for the child. It was an innocent child. But the product of David's dark sin was manifest. Nevertheless, David petitioned the Lord for 7 days to spare the son's life. Sounds like a noble prayer. Sounds like a good prayer, doesn't it? He fasted. He wept. He cried out. And then the child died. However, David didn't become furious with the Lord, nor did he get discouraged and sin with his mouth. You see, it was God's call. And it says in verse 20, if you'll look there, so David arose from the ground, he washed and anointed himself, and he changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Even his servants were confused by this response. But David said in verse 22, I fasted and I prayed because who knows, the Lord may have been gracious to me. Yet the Lord did not answer him the way he had hoped. In other words, David released the outcome to God because he knew God was in control. He allowed God to be sovereign. Because God is good and He is a just God. Whatever He decides, it will be okay. Do you believe that this morning? Whatever He decides, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. David didn't get upset or bemoan the fact that his prayer wasn't answered like he had hoped. I experienced some of that this week. Maybe you did too. Maybe not. But David got up and he got dressed. He threw on some cologne and went and worshiped God. He went to worship God. Wasn't mad at God. He just let God be God. Lord, you are sovereign. And he went to worship Him like we're here today to worship God. We worship a good God. To know and believe and remember that God is sovereign brings a very large dose of hope to any situation. It does not mean that there will not be disappointment and even discouragement. But remembering the sovereignty of God will prevent discouragement from taking root and from piling on us and from the devil dancing around in our thoughts, just having a grand old day because God's kids are discouraged. Remembering the sovereignty of God is the key. Just let God be God. Whatever he's going to choose is going to be good. It's the American football star, Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow. It's one of my favorites. I hope my son could grow up to become like Tim Tebow. This is what Tim said. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. I could not agree with him more. We do not know what future holds for our nation, but I know who holds our future in His hands. Amen. My third point for handling discouragement is this. To thank Him in all things. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're almost done here, guys. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be in verse 16. Beginning in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a lot of meat here. We could really take some time in unpacking those verses. You see, this is God's will. It is a commandment, not a suggestion, to give thanks in everything, to rejoice. We are to rejoice always in everything. How's your joy meter doing this morning? Have you rejoiced in everything? You see, when we walk in alignment with God's will, there comes a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know why I'm so joyous. All I've been doing is thanking God for everything. Bam, good job. That was the will of God. And when you walk in the will of God, there is peace that comes with that. Notice the word joy in the middle of rejoice. As I spoke in the video, did everyone see the video this week? I was just prompted by the Lord to send that out. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. If you're finding it hard to have joy, seek the Lord and you will find strength in Him, because His strength brings joy. One way we can seek the Lord and to regain that joy is by listening and singing along with some worship music. Diane reminded me this morning as we were talking, feeling a little, is it okay to share this? Just feeling a little discouraged in her and Buck. Just began worshiping the Lord. Song came on. Great is thy faithfulness. We sang it this morning. We were already planning to sing it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just put that song in their life. Changed everything, didn't it? Bam. Walking in the will of the Lord. For it's His strength that brings joy. And when we worship and praise Him, I'm about to show you a verse where the Bible removes, where God removes the spirit of heaviness. Jason and I, we've talked about that before, haven't we? Look here in Isaiah chapter 61. We'll have it on the screen for you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To talk about Jesus and how He comforts us. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. And here, note this, the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Did you catch that in verse 3? The antidote for mourning is joy. And joy is released when we are praising God. His praise becomes a garment that we put on, and heaviness leaves. Heaviness cannot stay on us when there is a garment of praise upon us in our covering. Go into your car, your closet, or your shower, and put on some worship music, and then sing for all you're worth. Cry for all you can. Lift up your burdens to the Lord. Let Him take them and wash them down the drain. He is faithful. Thank Him for your blessings. It's so easy to get caught up in this myopic view of life. Life is just right here and oh, it's so bad. And we lift up our heads and look around and go, oh, it's not that bad after all. Thank You for blessing me here and here and here and here and here. And then we would come back to that little hole. We'd say, it's not such a big deal. The devil tried to make it a big deal, but it's not such a big deal. We've come through a season when there's been a lot of fear thrown at us from politicians, from news anchors and talking heads. Everything's fear, fear, fear. If the elections go this way, you better be afraid, because the worst possible things are going to happen. And you listen to this person and they say the same thing about the others. Guys, God is still on the throne. He's still in charge of this nation. There is a righteous remnant here. A righteous remnant that calls upon the name of the Lord. But He's watching His remnant. What's my remnant going to do this morning? Are they going to get scared and fearful and start hiding? Or are they going to stand up and be bold for my name? Things may get difficult for the church here. Maybe. But God's going to take us through it. He always has and He always will. And even if the worst happens, we go to be with Him. I don't count that as a loss at all. I don't know about you. Amen. That is worth a clap. So thank Him for your blessings. And during the middle of your storms, let me just end with this. As you're enduring the pain, the Bible is not telling us to get happy because we're in pain. Lord, I thank you. My leg got chopped off this morning. That's just ridiculous. The Lord wants us to thank him that he's going to take us through a process. And he's going to show us something. If you're going through a difficult thing right now, ask God what he's showing you. Lord, what is it you want me to learn? Because the lessons that God teaches produces maturity and produces faith and courage. Ask him, what is it that I'm supposed to see right now? While it's raining, while the storm is coming, Almighty God, why am I going through this? Will you show me? The Holy Spirit will show you. Don't let pain go to waste. Don't complain about it. But don't let it go to waste, because God may be allowing you to go through something right now that there is no other way that he's going to get your attention than to walk through that. And when you get through the other end, you have angels that are cheering for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes. And then you get through the finish line. And that's the exact thing. And when you do, that's the exact thing God wanted to happen. And you're stronger and you're better than you ever were. Pain. The devil wants to discourage. The devil wants to bring despair. But when we thank God for his goodness and for his sovereignty, for not answering our prayers the way we thought they should be answered, in all circumstances, hope will come and discouragement will fade like fog in the morning sun. It's a promise of the Lord. The devil will not win, and he will go pick on somebody else that's easier to deceive. You are a child of God, and hope is your inheritance. Hope is my inheritance this morning. Hope is our promise. God is going to take us through this. Whatever lies before us, as a church, as a nation, as a people, whatever lies before your family, keep your eyes on God. Do not walk away from him. Don't sin with your mouth, and keep trusting and believing his word that what he says is going to come true, because it is going to come true. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning.